School's dark sometimes. School stinks. School's hard. It's heavy. And it's not awesome for an awful lot of people. You guys, I ask that you be the hands and feet and hearts and eyes and everything of Jesus. It takes a second for you, and it can mean everything to somebody else. Don't forget it. It's a big deal. Hit the bricks. Romans. We're in Romans. Romans 6. And we're at that spot where Paul has just laid out grace for us. And now the question, once you understand grace, is obviously, well, then I can do everything. There's no reason for me to do anything. So sinning all the more is good. That brings glory to God. So I'm just going to do everything I want. And the phrase in Corinthians that he uses is food for the stomach, stomach for the food, which means if you want to do it, whatever, just chase your pleasure, chase your nose all around. And so now he's breaking that down. He's breaking that down and saying, that's not exactly the truth because there's a better way to live. So in Romans 6, we're going to start in verse 8, and we're going to do a bunch today. So we'll start in verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So what's happened here is Paul sums up the idea so far. Since we have died with Jesus, death no longer has mastery or dominion over us. And what that means is they are your master, okay? That you don't have a choice anymore. You don't have a choice. Sin, death, pain, all of that controls you. You've given the wheel of the car to someone else. Sam, you don't have to leave. I got pearls. I'll tell you what. I'll give it to you later. I know. Okay. So we died to sin, and it's always this past tense that Paul says. Since we died to sin, we can now live with God. And that's his thing. So the strange thing that he's addressing here is, why do we live the way that we do? If that's true, if we have died to sin and now we live with God, why do we live the way we do? Why do we live as if we are still under the thumb of the old nature, of the old me, which is what he uses in another spot? If we're free, why do we stay in slavery to those things that are just beneath us? And you know how I feel about sin. I'm not talking about sin up here going like, oh, you sinner, rah, rah, rah. What I'm talking about are those things that we do that take us apart. The things that are beneath us. The things that are less and make us feel like less and keep us in those old patterns that are less than what God has for us. Has anybody ever seen the show The Big Bang Theory? Okay, there's a guy in it who was also on the show Roseanne, and his name's Johnny Galecki. And he said this amazing thing in a podcast I listened to once, and a person called in and said she was caught up in this mess and everything. And everybody in Hollywood is always there. The thing is always, hey man, whatever you want to do, everything's cool, just go ahead and do all that, blah, blah, blah. But he didn't. He said right away, well, you got to stop that stuff. And I couldn't believe it. I rewound it and I thought, you can't do this. And the person who was leading the podcast said, well, you got to chase your own truth. And he goes, no. He goes, stop doing the things that make you love you less. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's sin. Preach. That guy's a preacher. Who knew? Stop doing the things that love you less. So what we're talking about here, how that fits in, is we've died to sin, we live to God, and we still do the things that make us love us less. Why? Why? I said before about dominion and control and mastery. The relationship with Jesus gives us a choice. Now we can have the wheel. We can choose something different. We have now the freedom to leave that sin behind. Before, we had no choice. Sin, the sin nature had the dominion. The sin nature was driving the car. That old man was the one with the reins to us. And David Guzik calls it the tyranny of the old man. That's how it was. The old man had the wheel. And we were just along for the ride. My uncle always says, when you go, what do you want to do? He's like, I'm just a hubcap. Wherever you're going, I'm going too. That's it. That's all he used to say. Now though, because of what's happened, because of what Jesus did, we are now set free to leave that old life, that old destructive life that makes us love us less. And this was foreshadowed in Ezekiel 36. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And that's awesome, but listen to this. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. What's happened is the spirit's now in us, and now these new hearts make us want to do God's will. That's what it means when move us to follow. Please help me want to. There's this thing in the Psalms where David said, make me want to. You know, dear God, make me want to. I don't feel like doing all this stuff. Make me want to. Just help me. Help me to do that. And that's what the Spirit does in us. It moves us to want to live righteous, holy lives. It moves us to want to follow Him. Now, the question is, do you have to? No, as short as I can. It's kind of missing the point. And now, then we're going to get to this really wonderful question that I have just loved sitting with. But the first thing is, anytime we talk about Jesus, we make it to, do I have to? And the best example I can give you is the Sabbath. Do I have to keep a Sabbath? The biggest question I've been asked since I've been following Jesus, and people know that I follow Jesus. Do I have to keep a Sabbath? Do I have to take Sundays off? No. You want the short answer or the long answer? Short one's no. The long one's no. Okay? The long one's no. Okay? So, but here's the great question. Why wouldn't you want to? Why wouldn't you want to? Okay, what the Sabbath is essentially is, listen guys, you're tired, you're worn out, you've been trying to hold everything together so long. You're not working machines. You don't get your value from work. Take a day off. And we make it, do I have to? So silly. It's a gift, man. It's a gift. Do I have to go see Infinity War, Dad? Well, no, but why wouldn't anybody want to? You know what I mean? That's the thing. Why not? All of these things. Why wouldn't you want to? When I think of all the trouble I got into out of telling fibbers and telling all through school that you'd lie to everybody and try and make yourself seem awesome. And then they find out all the time. And then all of that mess comes back. If I could eliminate that, why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I want to? All the things that hurt me, why wouldn't I want to? Here's the thing. The two things that we've been using lately are, you get the A on the first day of school. They give you the A+. Here you go. You win, you get an A. Now you're going to, we have class every day. So your choices are, you can go to class every day. You can read the material. You can learn. You can become different than you were before and learn all of this awesome material that you didn't know before. Or you can blow off class and stay a screwball for your whole life. You still get the A, but why wouldn't you want to learn that stuff? God bless you. Why wouldn't you want to learn that stuff? And the other one is the house. The house. We just talked about it last week. You have this big, beautiful house, and you won't live in it. You're living in a shack. Why not go live in the house? Instead of going, man, I love this house I have. I'm going to live in it someday. No, no. You can go live in it now. And why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? That's what a righteous, holy life is. That is God's best life for you now. Take a break. Take Sunday off. You don't have to keep it all together. But do I have to? Do I have to rest? Well, no. No, you don't. Okay. So Paul carefully lays all this out. It's a revolutionary idea. It's a really big deal, this grace thing. And it's huge and it's really, really hard for our minds to get. Because what we care more about than anything is A, fairness, and B, comparing ourselves with our neighbors. A, we want to be better than everybody else. We just don't want to be as bad as them, right? So that's that. So the question, once you get grace, it has to be, well, how do I do this? How do I do any of this? When you get grace and you get a holy life, you go, how does this work? So we move on to Romans 6:11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Now, the first part of that is, in a different translation, says, do not let sin control you. Now, I have the coolest story right now. And it's a little lengthy, but it's so awesome. You're going to love it, and it's going to make complete sense. In the 14th century, two brothers fought for the right to rule over a dukedom in what is now Belgium. The elder brother's name was Reynold, but he was commonly called Crassus, which is a Latin nickname meaning fat, for he was horribly obese. After a heated battle, Reynold's younger brother, Edward, led a successful revolt against him and assumed the title of duke over the lands. But instead of killing Reynold, Edward devised a curious imprisonment. He had a room in the castle built around Crassus, a room with only one door. The door was not locked, the windows were not barred, and Edward promised Reynold that he could regain his land and his title anytime he wanted to. All he had to do was leave the room. The door was too small for him to get through. And what he did was, you can have all the food you want. I'll bring you the best food in the land. You can eat as much as you like. You can do anything, but you have it all back if you leave. All you got to do is leave it behind. And guess what? Guess how that story ends? He never left. He stayed in that room for 10 years until Edward was killed in battle. Never, never left. Now, cool story, right? Now it takes a little bit of a twist because we're free. We're free. We can walk in the freedom whenever we decide, yet we continue to serve the old man. We continue to stay in the room and not walk out. Yet we live, David Guzik says, we live a life of defeat, discouragement, and imprisonment. And no kidding. No kidding. That's the truth. That's the truth. Lawrence Kushner says, the slaves who were freed from Egypt were not free until they could acknowledge and understand their own participation in their slavery. It takes more than a master to make a slave. Now, we live in a culture right now that is always saying, he did it. He did it. He did it. Not me. Not me. And it's a brand new thing. It only goes back to Genesis 3. But it's all that thing of, they're keeping me down. The world is keeping me down. My circumstances, my boss, my da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All of this stuff is on us, and we don't have anything to do. What can I do? Right? That's how the world is kind of set up for us. But that's not the case. That's not the case. The world is actually set up for us as free people because that's the reality. what happened 2,000 years ago is the new reality. You're free. Here's your room. There's no bars in the doors. Walk out. You will hear in religious, spiritual circles all the time, live in victory. That's it. Or not. Or not. Walk out. Or not. Tough. Tough stuff. Then he moves on. Do not offer any part of yourself as sin to an instrument of wickedness. And the New Living Translation says, do not let any part of your body be used as a tool for wickedness. Okay? This is a negative posture, and it's almost always where we start. When you have kids and they're small, you say, don't touch the stove, okay? Don't run into traffic, okay? It's almost where you always start with anybody, with any kind of development. You start with the nose. Don't touch the stove. Put off that thing. But then now what? Now what? Listen to this. In Matthew 12, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and doesn't find it. Then it says, I'll return to the house I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than that, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. Now, that's in the Bible, so we don't understand the Bible. I understand that. But here's what that means. When you're bored, what do? Get into trouble. You get into trouble. If you're on, and man, this comes back to food for me an awful lot because it's a struggle since I was a little round guy. So what happens is I do really, really, really well. Okay? I can eat vegetables and not all the cake that I want. And then I'm bored. And then what do? I eat. And I eat bad food. I got into all kinds of trouble with my last job because I was driving all the time because I had long drives. What else are you going to do? I'm going to eat. When you're bored, you get into trouble. When you're bored and just clicking around on your computer, you end up on sites that you might not have gone otherwise if you had anything to do. So, that's what's happening. Here's a fun way to say that. Yesterday, my angel's pap made this new motorcycle, and he got a kit, and it's old, but it's awesome. And he made it all new, and everybody's driving around on it. And her brother is standing with me and talking to me about it, and he said, I remember the first time he let me out. All he said was, don't run into my peach trees. Go in the orchard, but don't go in my peach tree. Don't run into any of my peach trees. Guess what happened? He hit a peach tree. The only thing. You had one job. Have you ever hear that? You had one thing to do. Just not hit that. But that's the thing. Negative postures never change anybody's life. If you've ever heard that, okay, I don't want anybody going up there. And you probably know why, because you were here the other night and you were up there, weren't you? It's super scary up there. I know. But if I say to you, I don't want anybody going in that door, you know what's going to happen. For the rest of today, you're going to be thinking, I wonder what's up there. That's weird that he'd say that. So I wonder what it is that's up there. Maybe once he walks out of here, I can just see. Maybe there's a light switch. Hey, can just peek my head up. I'm sure I don't have to really not go up there. He's probably just being funny because he's a knucklehead like that, right? That's all you're thinking about. When you say to your kids, don't do that, that's what they do. Or that's what they want to do more than anything else. That's the thing. Negative postures don't change your life. If you say, don't eat all the chocolate, that's all you're thinking about. Gosh, I really wish I had a piece of chocolate. When you hadn't thought about a chocolate for 3 weeks before, but then Lent comes around and you say, I'm giving up chocolate the first day of Lent, and you go, oh, baby, I could eat some chocolate. So these never change our lives. What they do is they clue us into what we'd really, really like, even though we didn't really like them before, but we do now because you made them off limits. You have to have something, to use Paul's language, you have to have something to put on. You have to have something to do with your hands. You know what I mean? Like, it's not enough just to put that down. You have to have something to do. What's far more effective for a child to say, don't do that, or to say, hey man, look at what's over here. Let's try this. And then they just come over. Yes, of course. Wow, awesome. And then they've totally forgotten. If you put a marshmallow on the table in front of a kid and say, don't eat that marshmallow, that's torture. But if you put a marshmallow on the table in front of a kid and then you take the kid out to that room, he doesn't even remember there's a marshmallow there. So that's how that goes. There's a difference between free from blank and free for blank. There's a difference in those things. And that's what Paul's trying to do. You need a positive posture. You need a yes in your life. You need a yes. You need that thing that gets you moving, that gets you out of bed in the morning. Right? What I heard once was the people who are the nastiest towards you or whatever are in your business all the time have nothing to do. They have nothing that they've given their lives to, so all they can do is think about yours. All they can do is think about where you're going wrong, what you're doing, because they don't have that thing for them. You know how it is. When you have a thing that drives you, and you can see it in all the teachers right now, all the teachers right now have no time to think about anything else because they're thinking about their classrooms. They're getting them set up. They're thinking about the kids that they have. They're thinking about all of this stuff. So they don't have time for anything else. When you have that thing, when you have a yes, you don't have to worry about all this other stuff. That's the beauty of God's plan for us. And sin, we've made it to, we're not allowed to do. Religion and spirituality has somehow, just, I won't lump spirituality in there, but religion has made it about things that we have to give up, right? But instead, God was never about that. God was saying, I have this wonderful plan for you, and I've made you super creative. You're made in my image. You're creative, and I've given you that thing in you that you're going to want to chase, that's going to give you life, that will make your life purposeful, meaningful, important. You want to jump out of bed in the morning, and we spend it going, man, I wish I could tell those lies. Or I wish I could have my neighbor's car. We've taken this huge, wonderful story and gone, let's make it this. Let's make it this. I married an angel. And that's better than I could have ever imagined. And there's so much more to her. You understand how it is with people. People have all these awesome layers, and it's just amazing to get to know them and things like that. How much would I have missed if I would have spent the first 15 years of marriage going, man, it stinks. I can't go on other dates with other girls. I'd really like to go out with that girl. So I'm just going to look at her and do all this stuff instead of getting to know my wife. That's awesome. That's the freedom. That's the cool part. But instead, I've taken this wonderful story of commitment and marriage and love and give and giving and forgiving. And I've gone, I just can't go out on other dates with other girls. And that stinks. You know what I mean? That's what we do. That's what we do. We take this wonderful story where God says, you can go run as fast as you can and fly as far as you want. And we make it, well, do I have to take a day off? You see what I mean? What a shame. What a shame. In school, we've talked about the A before. In school, the teachers are giving us, and I didn't see it this way, obviously, and I didn't read any of their books, but they give you all of these tools to learn and learn new ways of thinking and expand your mind because these books are amazing. You know what I mean? But I just kept going, well, is there going to be a test on this? You know what I mean? Instead of going, what a cool thing. Test me if you want. I don't really care, but I just want to learn it. I just want to learn. I want to become something different than I was before. something better, something closer to what God had in mind for me. It's cool. So, the homework, and I will ask you, you give time here every week. Your homework is today. I would like it to be today. I would like you to give a little bit of time today. What's your yes? What's the thing for you? What's your thing? Think about it. Because oftentimes if you ask someone, what's your yes? And they go, I don't know. Well, I have this job. I have two kids. I don't care about that. I don't care about that. I want to know the thing that gets you moving in the morning. That okay, I teach. Yeah, but probably the yes that started that a long time ago was this kid here was this way, and I had a chance to touch his life. Or some teacher touched mine, and now I can do that for somebody, because we forget. We forget, and we get into this rut, and we get into this thing, and we go, we forget why we ever got into it. Or we're in somewhere that's not our yes. And how sad is that? It's become the room with the door that's wide open, because we don't know what our yes is anymore. So think about what your yes is, okay? Just think about it. Think about it today and go, you know, that's probably, you know exactly what it is right now, because I rambled long enough and that was kind of the point. That you're kind of going, you know, that's what I always wanted to do. That's who I wanted to be. That's what mattered to me. But then everything else changed and got me out of it and got me in this path and in this rut where I've forgotten. And now it's become all about brushing my teeth and go sit in traffic forever. You know what I mean? And you go and you put your hours in and you watch the clock. Is there any more soul-crushing thing in the world than to watch the clock? Even now, if you're looking at the clock, oh, phew, wrap it up. It's so sad. It's so sad. I'm glad I don't see you guys looking at your clocks. Anyway, what's your yes? Think about it. And think about it every single day. Think about it every single day and remind yourself why you're here and why you're doing what you're doing. Because oftentimes it doesn't matter what you're doing. Your yes fits into all of them. So figure out what it is. Figure out what it is and get there. Do it. Take a risk. Take a shot. When you pursue your yes, that is exactly the same. What I've just said, pursue your yes, is exactly the same as when Paul says, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. All of those words we can shrink down to, I have a really great plan for you, and why don't you do it? Okay? Here's the way I read the Bible, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe at some point God will be like, man, you got that wrong, as he has his arm around me and loving me up there. He'll say, you had that wrong, but I will go down saying, God doesn't care what you don't do. God cares everything what you do. God says, here it is, man, do it. And then you won't have time to think about what, and all this time that we spend saying, don't do that, is such a waste. It's such a waste. Instead, do something. Do something awesome. It's what you're made for. You are awesome. Let's get there. Let's talk about that. Isn't that much more fun to talk about? And I think that when I read the Bible, that's what the Bible is. Do it. All these things that are holding you back, they're not mine. They're yours. Let them go. Anyway, that verse, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Now, notice this. That does not say, offer yourselves to God so that you can be brought from death to life. It does not say that. Notice that. Notice that, because that's the way we make it. That's religion. Got to get it right. I got to offer myself so that he will give me life. Nope. No, 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 no. That is not what anything says in the New Testament at all. Paul never says that. Notice his tenses all the time. This, he is saying, offer yourselves as those who have already been brought from death to life. The fact that we're still in the room with the door that's wide open, that's our problem. God gave us the keys. God gave us the house. God gave us the A. Now what? It's such a hopeful book. I really love it. Sheesh, obviously. Okay, offer yourselves to God. Now, this is an idea similar to the priests in the Old Testament. In Exodus 29, this is what you are due to consecrate them so they may serve me as priests. Slaughter it, take some of its blood and put it on the lobes of the right ears of Aaron and his sons, on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. Then splash blood against the sides of the altar, and take some blood from the altar and some of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments and on his sons and their garments. Then he and his sons and their garments will be consecrated. Now, where Angel is right now, she's getting the bucket, because I went to a butcher shop this week and I got a great big can of blood, and I'm going to wipe it on all of you. I know, I thought that was a long way to go for that joke, but it's cool. This is what we're talking about, and there's a fancy church word in there. It's all going to get somewhere. Consecration, okay? Consecration is to make or declare sacred, okay? Sacred just means holy, apart, okay? Dedicate formally to a religious or divine purpose. Quote, the separation of oneself from things that are unclean, especially anything that would contaminate one's relationship with a perfect God. Sanctification, holiness, purity. Okay, these are often words that we don't talk about an awful lot in here, but you'll see where we're going in a second. You see it a lot in scriptures, and a cool example is after 40 years in the wilderness. Okay, the Israelites are in the wilderness for 40 years. They come to the Jordan River. And in Joshua 3:5, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Now, part of that, this is where it gets so cool and the hair on my neck stand up, because I really love this stuff. The people of God were commanded to bathe and change their clothes. Okay? Now, this is neat, and the significance of this is that in these times, water wasn't, it was considered a luxury, okay? It wasn't used for personal hygiene often, okay? It wasn't like us. We just take water for granted. There are parts of the world where it is not taken for granted, like we can just leave the water run while we brush our teeth and stuff like that. This is a different kind of thing. Water is a luxury here. So bathing and changing clothes takes on a whole different thing, right? It's a little bit like putting on some cologne in your nice clothes. It's symbolizing making a new beginning with the Lord. So kind of when he says, tell your people to consecrate themselves, he's saying, get ready for a date. Get ready to go out. Cool, right? Right? It's not just do this whole list of things that I tell you that I've just decided arbitrarily just so that you're doing something. It's not. It's a, we're going to go out on a date tonight because I love you. So wear something nice. Cool. That's cool, right? When you go on a date, now think back, think for me way back to the first date you had. And I was talking with a guy this morning. Now, I should turn the, I hope he doesn't listen, but I should absolutely turn the thing off today for this. There's a marriage, and it's going bad, and when we talk, it's just the bad things that happen. And I just keep wanting to say, next week, I'm going to be like, oh, I'll meet you. We get on the treadmills next to each other, and we walk, and he tells me how messed up things are. But I'm going to be like, okay, I'll meet you. But all I want to hear about is how you got together and the good things about her. Because you forget. So when I say remember that time where you dated, you should start to smile. Because I think that that can bring everything back to where things were wonderful. And then you remember. But anyway, our first date, I picked my clothes out days before. And I purposefully wore everything I did. Because I was super cool. And she was awesome. And it was going to go well. Could you dream You know that there's a commercial right now where a guy shows up to meet with a girl and the neck of his shirt's all out. Who dreams of that? Come on, man. You know what I mean? Do it. Would you just roll out of bed and meet a special lady? I'm glad Sam's not here because he would say, yeah, well, sure. But the thing is, you wouldn't do that. Now here, we dress a certain way. I understand because it's very purposeful how I dress, and this is not Sunday best. I know what you're saying, but it looks cool. I know. But it's not Sunday best, and we do that very, very purposefully. But if you think that things don't go into this, I think about this the night before, and sometimes days before. I shave my head. I get ready in the morning, like I'm going on a date. And it's a little for you, but it's not so much. It's for God. I'm coming here to be with God and to give God's word. I'm not just going to take that for granted. You know what I mean? And we shouldn't. Sal and I were just talking before about things getting lost. And Kathy on the phone, we've missed. So many things have gotten lost in technology. And one of the things that gets lost is no boy ever has to call a girl and have her dad answer the phone. And I'm sorry that that's lost. I'm sorry because it was the scariest thing in the world, but it was awesome. What else has gotten lost is in being very casual and coming as you are, there is something cool about getting up in the morning and going, I get to go here. I get to go here, and I get to meet with God, and I get to spend this time. And I don't want that to be lost. It's more valuable to me that we can come as however we want, obviously. But I wish that wasn't lost. That's the idea of consecration. We're going on a date. Look sharp. The way God comes is with everything, with all of his majesty. He didn't just roll out of bed. He's coming with all he's got. The Jordan River's about to be parted. This huge, awesome thing is about to happen. God is coming with gifts because he's been thinking about you and getting ready for you to come here to him and all of this beautiful stuff, and you're just going to show up stinky and with your hair out of place. And come on. That's the idea of consecration. Come on. Romans 12. Therefore, and when we get to these two verses, it's going to be months. I can assure you of that. We're going to spend months on two verses. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The New Testament idea of consecration is living as if we are the sacrifice. That's how we live, as a holy and royal priesthood to the glory of God. And you know why he asks us to do that, to see it that way? Because we are. He says, see yourselves as the holy royal priesthood of God, because guess what? That's exactly what you are. And that, we don't even see that. We don't even see that. We are now God's people. And that's a cool thing, and we should carry ourselves that way. Don't you think? You sign a code of conduct when you get on a sports team. You play football, right, Ian? Did you sign the code of conduct? Well, I think you probably did. Anvil Youth League makes you sign the code of conduct. Yeah, you signed it. You know it too. I know exactly what I can and can't do. But anyway, you sign a code of conduct because guess what, man? You are now representing something else. You make the decision to have, remember the federal theology and the two men, you make the decision to have Christ represent you, and now you represent him. So you can live your life going, man, there's so many things I can't do. Wah, wah. Or you can live your life going, this has set me free. This has set me free. And now I have a date with my God at the Jordan River, and I'm coming ready to go. As if something awesome was going to happen. Not a, Well, I hope it works out. Yeah, it is what it is. Who wants to go on a date with that girl? Well, she's okay. I can't do a lot of things. No. Now you are there. You are the holy and royal priesthood. 1 Peter, but you are... Okay, get ready. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. It's a real big difference if those two things are reversed. You must declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness so that you can be a royal people. That is not what he says. You've been called out. You've been called out first. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have. Before, in the Old Testament, the quote was, so that they may serve me as priests. If you got that in the Exodus passage, put the blood on everyone so that they may serve me as priests. Now, we are already the priests. This is a very, very big distinction. We are already the priests. The grace comes first. So now, not out of obligation, not out of law, not out of transaction, it is a response driven by love. 2 Corinthians 5:14, and if you're taking notes, you can write that one down. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, whatever we do, and get the, there's an interesting word here because we just talked a lot before about dominion, mastery, and control, and having the wheel. You remember that in the beginning? It was 2 hours ago. But it was about sin and death having the wheel of our lives and having control over it. Whatever we do, it is because Christ's love controls us. How's that? Death or love? You choose. You choose the things that make you love you less or just love coming out of your ears all the time. Huh. His love is so great and so overwhelming, and when we get it, when we understand it, that we've gotten it, and we accept it, it fills us so fully it comes out of our eyes and our ears and our feet and our hands and our hearts and every single part of us. It moves our feet, and it is the common force in every one of our yeses. If you spend the time in your homework and you think about your yes and you draw it back, every one of them is driven by love. The yes that you have in you was put there by a God of love. And it was for love, by love. All of it was done in love for you. So that thing that you really want to do, you should do that. Because the reason it's there is so that you can love everybody. So that you can love God and love everybody else. All those things that God puts inside of you are there for that reason. Amen. I tried today. We're going to get there. Althea is going to be the one too. Will everybody stand? This is what we do, this because we're alive and to remember that you're alive. We are also doing this to remember that we are loved. There's not enough of that outside unless we make it that way. Spend the time. I said that about the school kids earlier today. Spend the time with us too. Spend the time. Look at people. Give the attention. Just takes a second. I can assure you, it just takes a second to change somebody's life. Dear God, thank you for loving us this much. Thank you for setting us free. Please make us want to. We love you. Amen. Everybody have a great week.